Elijah's biting the Lord should be understood as his heartily kissing the Lord's limbs, and his covering him with his snake's body, wrapping him in his coils, should be understood as his firmly embracing the Lord's limbs. Therefore, the statement in the verse, in one of the verses, the statement with anger, should be understood in the context of being as if with anger. But actually, it's with pure love. Therefore, the Lord is about to show him great mercy. And Krishna's appearing stunned is because the Lord is stunned in the ecstasy of being embraced by Kaliya with great love. Anyway, Sanatana Goswami is the only one of the acharyas who makes that type of analysis. The other acharyas just take it in a very straightforward way, that Kaliya was angry and like that. Sometimes our acharyas, they say things like this. In their great ecstasy, they perceive things like this. Like, I remember one devotee. He was a very ecstatic book distributor in ISKCON. And he could read any verse in purport. I remember him reading one verse in purport. It was a very philosophical verse in purport in Bhagavad Gita. He was a German devotee, very sort of powerful devotee. At the end he said, as he began his class, he said, "This verse is all about Sankirtan." Which is a little hard to understand. But anyway, Sanatana Goswami, he's perceiving things in that way. Because it is a fact that previously Kaliya was a devotee, and very soon he's about to become a devotee again. So at that point, all the cowherd boys faint. All the cowherd boys faint. Let's see. So then, well, what I'll do here, I'll read a little bit from Brihad Bhagavatamrita by Srila Sanatana Goswami. He gives a very nice narration of the pastime itself. So try and listen carefully. I think you'll find it very nice. Okay, here we are. One day, as he was enjoying pastimes by the Yamuna's shore, Krishna, the son of Nanda, heard that Kaliya had come to his lake. At once going there alone and climbing a kadamba tree, he dived into the lake, making the waters very turbulent. Playing in the water by wonderfully swimming back and forward and making many loud sounds, Krishna approached the demon, who at once wrapped his coils about the Lord. Playful Krishna then showed something. Not seeing Krishna, who had left their company, the cowherd boys became as if they were dead. Tormented by the desire to find him, they saw his footprints and followed them to the lake. When they saw that Krishna could not move, his friends fainted. When they could not see him at all because he was covered by the waters, they no longer wished to live. Standing by the shore, the cows, bulls, calves, and other domestic animals from the village, as well as all the wild animals from the Vraja forests, they all gathered, crying, fixing their eyes on Krishna's face, and screaming in agony. Crying pitifully, the birds flew over the lake and dived into the waters. The trees and other plants became dry and withered. Many great calamities happened. Sent by the Lord, an old man ran to Vraja village, crying and terribly calling out, "Alas, alas, He described what had happened. Seeing many fearful calamities, the people of Vraja left their homes and hurried to find Krishna. The old man's broken words were like a thunderbolt falling on them. In his home, Balaram called out, "It's a lie! It's a lie!" consoling the people of Vraja, who had become like running corpses. He carefully convinced Mother Rohini to stay at home, and then he also ran with the others. Lord Balaram quickly came to the lake. Seeing his younger brother in that state, he could not remain peaceful, but he cried in the agony of love. Lord Balaram lamented again and again, his cries breaking wood and stone. In a moment he fainted, as Nanda and Yashoda had already done. Then everyone let out a great, painful, terrible cry that made the entire world cry also. Awakened by this great sound, Lord Balaram, the crest jewel of the Soba, with a great effort regained his peaceful composure. In a moment, Krishna's parents became conscious again. Gazing at their son and crying loudly, they began to enter the lake. But Sri Balaram forcibly stopped them with his hands. Seeing everyone fainted as if they were dead, Lord Balaram became filled with pain. In a voice choked with emotion, he loudly called out to Krishna. Lord Balaram said, "O Lord, these people are not your associates in Vaikuntha. They are not your monkey associates. They are not the Yadavas. These are the people of Goloka. You are their only life and soul. They are dying now. Lord, I have no power to save them. They are now lifeless. Oh, merciful Krishna, only friend of the people of Vraja, please give up this pastime, or your gentle heart will become filled with grief." Then, crying with many words of lamentation, fainting, their bodies filled with pain, and their hearts destroyed by grief, the gopis entered the lake, as if to go by the Lord's side. But then, leaving that pastime, freeing himself from the bondage of Kaliya's coils, and climbing on the serpent's thousands of raised extended hoods, Krishna stretched out his two lotus hands. Then, bringing his gopi beloveds, Krishna climbed the very wonderful jeweled pastime place of Kaliya's hoods. With splendid singing and instrumental music, dancing with the gopis on these very wonderful dancing places, Krishna, who is an ocean of playfulness, enjoyed the wonderful happiness of the rasa dance. Sanatana Goswami explains that no one could see that. Even Lord Balaram couldn't see that. Only those who were in the conjugal rasa could see that. Then, staying on the shore, and now brought by Lord Balaram to consciousness, Nanda and the others gazed at Krishna and became filled with joy and wonder. After subduing the serpent king Kaliya, smiling Krishna forcibly took away the upper garments from the serpent's wives as they offered prayers, making of these garments a single long rope, piercing the serpent's nose and threading it. Playful Krishna held the rope in his left hand. Then Krishna, playing the flute with his right hand, rode the serpent as one rides a horse and made it go here and there. Sometimes prodding the serpent with his flute, he made the serpent his carrier, showing the serpent great mercy. So, this is a very nice description by Srila Sanatana Goswami of that pastime. It's explained, just a little elaboration on some of the points in the purports from Srimad Bhagavatam. It's explained that Krishna was living at that time in Nandagram. Those of you who are familiar with the geography of Rajmandala, maybe tomorrow I'll bring a map I've got a map of Raj Mandala. We can put it up here, then you can see where these different things are happening. But Nandagram is about, by road at least, it's about at least 40 kilometers, I would say, from Kaliyagat. So all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they all came, but they managed to find Krishna, find where this was going on. Now how? How did they find Krishna so quickly? They had to go 40 miles. The river is extending practically the whole way. So how did they find where he was? Any suggestions? They followed his footprints. But now how come his footprints were still there to be seen? Because Krishna was walking with 900,000 cows, leading them. So how come his footprints were still there? And what to speak of the cows, they're all the other forest animals moving back and forward in the forest. So how come all his footprints were there? Because the inhabitants of Vrindavan, out of great love for Krishna, they always preserved every single one of Krishna's footprints. Wherever he went, the inhabitants of Vrindavan would go to every footprint and clear away any little pieces of leaves or twigs or other stuff that might have fallen. So every footprint that Krishna made in all the years he was in Vraj, they were all preserved. They were preserved as the most precious treasures of the lives of all the inhabitants, including all the animals in Vrindavan. So when Uddhava came to Vrindavan after Krishna left, and Nanda Maharaj said, I'll take you out on, show you some of the ways that Krishna went. Uddhava was wondering how. How's he going to show me the exact path? But Nanda Maharaj was able to retrace through following every footprint of Krishna's, every place he went. So therefore they were able to find Krishna by following his footprints. Then it's described that they were crying and fainting, just fainting, bang. Then they'd stand up and faint again, bang. They're just going up and down and up and down. Our acharyas explained that it was just like if you have, say, a log of wood or something, even he says like the dead body of an animal, and it's struck by a lightning bolt, then it may rear up, but then immediately it just falls down. So he says, this is what our acharyas say, this is what it was like. They were crying tears profusely, rivers of tears. But their bodies were so hot through anxiety that before the tears would come down off their cheeks, they would evaporate and turn to steam. Then they all had the idea, let's just go and join Krishna and die with him. And Lord Balaram was running back and forward, stopping them. Some he was stopping with his arms. Some he was dragging them out of the lake. Others he was pleading with sweet words. But he was running back and forward trying to stop the inhabitants of Vrindavan. But then it became too much. He couldn't run back and forward fast enough. So it was at that point that he spoke that prayer to Krishna, that, O Krishna, these are not the inhabitants of Vaikuntha. They're not the monkey devotees of Ayodhya. They're not even the Yadavas. These are the people of Gokula, of Goloka. And if you don't stop this pastime now, then even though they have spiritual bodies, they'll die. And he says, this will be too painful for your soft heart. So therefore you should stop this pastime. So then Krishna stopped that pastime. Then, Sanatana Goswami says, very interesting thing, Anyway, we'll read this some other time. Krishna, about how Akrura comes and takes Krishna away from Vrindavan. If you look through the notes there in the book, you'll see that it says that, let's just see, where are we? Right at the end, I think. In the third to last paragraph, he's explaining, I'd suggest that tonight you, or in your spare time, you read this article. You'll find it extremely interesting. So he's explaining how these people who are like Kaliya, these poisonous people who try to poison the devotees, third to last paragraph in the article from The Harmonist about Kaliya by Bhaktisiddhanta. So these people, they may become corrected by the grace of the devotees or the grace of the Lord, just like Kaliya. He was corrected. And Kaliya became a devotee. And he offered prayers like that. But, it's stated here by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, or the statement at least is approved by him, that these brutes are never allowed to associate with the servants of Krishna, even after they forego all their malice towards the devotees. They are eternally debarred from the service of Krishna in Vraja. But the touch of Krishna's feet makes a real difference between the recipient of his mercy and other brutes. Kaliya is no longer regarded as an enemy, as a non-devotee, so he is allowed a place amongst the devotees. So the point here is that if one is in the habit of this envious talk, critical talk, blasphemous talk, poisoning the minds of other devotees, then you may be forgiven, but you won't be able to enter Vrindavan. So Kaliya was sent away. He was accepted as a devotee by Krishna, but he was not allowed to stay in Vrindavan. So we should all be very careful. We should all be very careful to avoid this type of practice. It's very detrimental, terribly detrimental. Actually, they say that Kaliya went to Fiji and he's somewhere there even to this day. Srila Prabhupada said that it may be true. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada arranged that the Fiji devotees, ISKCON devotees, build a Kaliya Krishna temple. That is our temple there in Fiji now. The deity is Kaliya Krishna. And Indra Jumna Maharaj is planning to visit Fiji to try to find Kaliya. And then he'll write one of his adventure articles for Back to Godhead. Hopefully Kaliya is still a devotee. Anyway, Indra Jumna Maharaj is a very bold devotee, ready for adventures. Any comments or questions about any of these things?
That Fiji, it may be true because I read an article about the Fiji elders. They actually do a worship.
Yes. Oh yes, there are stories of big snakes and things like that in Fiji. Yeah. Yeah. Any other questions, comments, Sloka?
The dramatic piece that you read to us, Maharaj, is Balaram becomes the the mouthpiece of the anxieties of the people of Raja.
Yeah.
And that Krishna, the way he subdues with such ease after the turmoil and the anguish.
Right.
It's to the stark contrast.
Oh, yes. Yes, well, Balaram was under the influence of Yoga Maya. Yeah. But also Balaram, he wasn't so much under the influence of Yoga Maya. He was relatively calm compared to the others. But the situation became so dramatic that in the end he made that appeal to Krishna that if you don't do something, these people are going to die. And they're so dear to you that if they do die, then what is it going to do to you? You yourself will be devastated by it. So then Krishna easily, yes, extracted himself. Because that was his pastime. He wanted to see them. Their feelings for him become stronger and stronger and stronger. But it got to the point that even their spiritual bodies, practically, were not able to tolerate the emotions. It's explained about Raghunath Das Goswami that he, one time he was editing Lalita Madhava for Rupa Goswami, which we were reading from yesterday. He was editing. So he got to one point where Krishna, same idea as I just mentioned, Krishna leaving Vrindavan. And then there's a description in Lalita Madhava of what happens. What happens to the inhabitants. And it's very, very heavy. We're going to read about it, at least the description from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Very dramatic description of that same pastime. So Raghunath Das Goswami, such a great devotee, actually, what happens in Lalita Madhava is that Srimati Radharani commits suicide. She jumps from Govardhan Hill. And other of the gopis also leave their bodies. They commit suicide. So, of course, we may hear that and it may not affect us so much. But Raghunath Das, when he read that, he became so overwhelmed in feeling separation and just the whole emotional experience of these things, that his body, the emotional symptoms that he was undergoing, that were sort of sweeping his body, they were so powerful that it appeared that his body was going to just break up due to the power of those emotional bodily manifestations. So then he was living at Radhakund. Some of his associates at Radhakund, they went rushing to Rupa Goswami and explained, you've got to do something. So Rupa came and asked Raghunath Das, would you please give me that book back? But Raghunath Das wouldn't. So then Rupa quickly wrote another book, Dan Kali Komudi, which is all about how Krishna and Radharani, after being separated, are reunited. So then he went up to Raghunath Das and said, oh, you know, I want to change some things in this Lalita Madhava, so I want to take it back from you. But in the meantime, would you please edit this new book? So then Raghunath Das agreed and he gave back that copy of Lalita Madhava and he read Dan Kali Komudi. And then his extreme emotions in separation, they were pacified. So, it's really quite something, actually. Some other comments or questions? Are you all free from offenses and the tendency to become envious? He is. is. Oh, good. We have one at least. Okay, sure.
The Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says here, those who are not exceedingly clever can never be servants of Sri Krishna.
Yes. Only the most intelligent people can take up devotional service. That's why Bhagavatam says, Krishna Vanam Tusha Krishnam Sangha Pangastra Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Hi Su Medhasa. Medhasa means intelligent. Intelligent, good intelligence. Su Medhasa means very intelligent. So, of course, we may not feel ourselves to be very intelligent, and by certain standards, you know, like academic standards, some of us would be more intelligent than others, and some might be quite intelligent. Others of us would be average, and some of us might even be less than average, actually, by material standards. But the fact that one has been able to understand what is the value of Krishna consciousness to the point that one has taken it up and one is attempting to give up material existence, that in itself is evidence that one has the best intelligence, actually. The point is made that there are different types of intelligence. Someone may be very intelligent in academics, but he can't paint a picture. Someone may be a great artist, but he can't do multiplication or something like that, isn't it? So there are different types of intelligence. It's not just that one person is more intelligent and another is less, necessarily. So the ultimate standard for intelligence is that a person is able to understand Krishna consciousness and then apply themselves to Krishna consciousness. So only people who are exceedingly clever will really take to Krishna consciousness. Does that sound reasonable? That's my understanding. Some other comments or questions? Okay, so for tomorrow, I'm giving the first class tomorrow. Okay. The extra session tomorrow. Okay. So for tomorrow, why don't you read about Bakasura? We'll start with Bakasura. And I've also got some sort of extra information about him, which I think you'll find very interesting. And then we'll also read about Krishna's leaving Vrindavan. There's just one statement here from Sanatan Goswami about when the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they heard that a Akrura was coming to take Krishna. This is just to sort of whet your appetites in a transcendental way, if you appreciate these things. Because these feelings of separation, they're actually the highest feelings in Krishna consciousness. So when they heard this news, even the people in other places, and even the stones, wood, and other inanimate objects cried and broke into pieces. It's an unusual thing in Krishna consciousness. These feelings, like these devastating feelings of separation, they're very relishable. They're actually the most relishable. And Lord Chaitanya, he was always relishing these feelings of separation. Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.